Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Don't you think they should play my song next week at the inauguration? Yeah. Amen. So after the inauguration, I'm going to change my song to Make the Church Great Again. Amen. Better than it's ever been. We're going to make the church great again. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also on Rapture Ready Radio every week. So we want to thank God for that, and we have a website, propheticnews.com. We also have a YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and don't forget my new book, which will bless your friends that are messed up in the Word of Faith or non-Word of Faith movement, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. They're pretty good at it, too, aren't they? They're pretty good at it. So I want to welcome my guest today. My guest is Jackie Alnor. Jackie Alnor.
That's me.
Oh, hi, Jackie. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Susan. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, amen. You
only
too.
Mine
you sound
still
a little quiet, though. Your audio is a little low.
Oh, let me get my mouth closer. Even though my voice is kind of bad, I'm just getting over laryngitis.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better? I got my mouth
a little
closer
bit.
To
I'll ask the people in the chat room. Let me know, people in the chat room, if you can hear Jackie okay. Okay, so somebody give me a heads up there, all right? Let me know if you can hear her, because she always has something very important to say, and we don't want to miss any of it. So, Jackie, now, tell the listening audience a little bit about your background, because some people don't really know your history.
Oh, I guess I do have a history. So this is kind of an impromptu question. But let's see. You and I got saved, I think, the same year in 1981, didn't we?
1981, yep. I was in Colorado and you were in California, right?
Yes, that's right. And I ended up somewhat associated with the late Walter Martin's ministry pretty much in the beginning, because after I got born again, it was, you know, it wasn't that long after all the stuff in the news over the People's Temple and, you know, the Jim Jones stuff. And so I was kind of afraid to venture out into a church, because I got born again through the power of the Holy Spirit while reading scripture, basically. There's a big story to that. But, you know, so because I think because the after I got born again, all my friends started saying, oh, we need a deprogrammer, you know, because everybody was talking about, you know, the People's Temple stuff. And
yeah.
So if you made a radical conversion as I did, you know, from, you know, One friend of mine said, you can't go from totally left to totally right overnight unless you've had a break with reality. But, you know.
Yeah,
so,
but that does happen when one is born again.
Yes, yes. And I didn't even know that that had happened, but I guess by what I was saying, that's the way that the people looking at me saw it. And so later, my sister got us involved in a Christian theater group, and the leader of it was the worship leader with Walter Martin when he was at Melodyland. And so
Melodyland, yeah.
You see, I got started going to his Bible studies on Sunday mornings, started going to Walter Martin's Bible study, and it was around that same time that big ad showed up in all the major newspapers across the country that the Christ is here now and was going to reveal himself telepathically to the world, and that was, courtesy of Benjamin Krim and the Terra Center. So there was, at that time, one crazy thing going on after another, and it wasn't long after that that Shirley MacLaine was on the beach yelling, "I am God."
Oh, yeah.
And, So
remember that.
Coming to Jesus in the midst of all of these crazy counterfeits that were getting all the press was, made me very uncomfortable. But it was, Dr. Martin who helped to, shine a biblical light to that. Because really when you first get saved and you're not biblically grounded, it's kind of hard to make sense of all those things.
Yeah.
And so I guess from the very beginning, discernment and checking out the difference between truth and error was high priority for me. Because, I had been a Roman Catholic, and when I was reading the Bible even before I got saved, I was, starting to read the Bible, and I'm thinking, wow, there's things in here that totally contradict my Roman Catholic upbringing.
Yeah.
And so I had to sort those things through after I got saved as well. So there was so much I had to straighten out between what's true and what's false that, the Lord, I think that kind of set the direction that the Lord was taking me in to not fall into, false things, even though, every now and then that would happen for a while. The Lord would get me back on track. But I think, after being involved with Dr. Martin and, even helping him at his speaking engagements, doing his table and doing all these kinds of things, for a while I got a bit confused because I started studying what the Jehovah's Witnesses believed, what the Mormons believed, and all of this when I wasn't even sure what I believed, and I wasn't grounded in the Word. So I, for a while, after a brouhaha with some people there that weren't so nice, I ended up going elsewhere for a couple of years, and later the Lord brought me back, but only after pretty much knowing what it is that I believe before going back and looking at what others believe. I noticed a lot of people, because of the New Age movement was so big in the early 80s, so many people that I knew and that I ended up hanging out with, they were reading so many things about the New Age movement. I got into that too. And, in order to see, because I was interested, I became interested in Bible prophecy. Even before I got saved, I understood something about Bible prophecy, and so I could see where these things fit in. I really think if you don't understand or have a good understanding of Bible prophecy, you can't put all these things into the eternal perspective. So I would have to get corrected because I would come under oppression and everything from reading too many New Age books to see what they were up to. And so you really have to. I know this one guy who was a rabbi turned Christian. He had told me, and this has always been something because I started, writing about the New Age movement and stuff. And he says, you always got to remember when you lift up the bronze serpent, make sure you lift up the cross next to it.
Yeah.
and not that to just major sense on some of those things. It's really easy to do that. So I think I had to learn everything the hard way and to see where things could, how important it is to stay in the Word every day. So I went, from being involved, I ended up taking apologetics courses at Simon Greenleaf School of Law, which is now a extension of Trinity Seminary. And, you know, one of my early teachers, actually he was a substitute teacher in my class, was it was a scientific apologetics class, and that was in 1987. And one of the teachers that came in was Ken Ham. And you know who Ken Ham is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Ken Ham was new from Australia at the time.
Oh.
And so I started, you know, again, looking at the discussions on creationism and things like that. And, you know, I had been to his Creation Museum a few years ago and really enjoyed it. And then I was able to, over the holidays just last month, to go with two of my daughters and my granddaughter. We went to the Ark.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
you've been to the Ark.
No.
It was really incredible because it was made to the specifications in Genesis.
Oh.
and so they even have a cubit. They show what a cubit is and all of this.
Yeah.
And so they made it according to specifications, and so it was life-size. And so anyway, that was, maybe I'm getting off target from your question, but that
no, that's
was a cool
okay.
experience.
I mean, for anybody that wants to go on a nice trip, where is it located? The Ark?
Well, it's just outside of, yeah, it's in Kentucky. I can't remember the name of the little town. It's just outside. It's like 40 miles from the Cincinnati airport. And it's really worth going because you can see very clearly that there was plenty of room and for all of the animals and for the people and for the supplies. And so it really made it realistically. But I guess
yeah.
I say that just to say that I've always had an interest in defending the faith, be it from, creationism to putting up a defense against the false teachings of the cults. And then my husband and I, we got married in 1987, and he was a journalist with several magazines, particularly Eternity magazine, that kind of folded back in the day. But so,
yeah.
And then he became a professor of journalism. So I guess I was kind of tutored in writing and everything. And we used to have a magazine called the Christian Sentinel, where we were just showing news, but the Christian angle on the news. And so we did that for like 10 years. And then,
Is that website still up where your articles are?
No, some of my articles are not necessarily from the Christian Sentinel, but a page because, you know, that one he took down even before he passed away. He had taken it down. He wanted to refurbish it. It was getting too old, and so that's not up anymore. But apostasyalert.org is still up, and that has some of my older articles. Some of them were in the Christian Sentinel. But so anyway, so I've just been, you know, and I've written for a lot of different publications as well, including, though I'm not proud of it, Christianity Today and and RNS, which is Religious News Service, and Eastern Christian, National and International Religion Report is where I kind of started writing it when my husband and I got married. And, you know, one of the, my husband was the editor of it, and then we had differences of in the way it should, you know, the publisher didn't like our focusing too much on discernment issues, and so we had a falling out. And you know who replaced Bill? And I was his correspondent, and he was the editor. And we were replaced by Lee Grady. Lee Grady.
Wow.
And that was before he ended up with Charisma. And so there was kind of an overlap where we worked with along with Lee Grady on some things. But you see, he had the more open to everything attitude that
yeah.
was more acceptable with the publisher. So,
yeah.
so I've had a long history of Christian journalism, but always with the perspective of discernment. And even as now I ended up getting handed the Blog Talk Network with, we have 7 programs, including yours on Rapture
yeah.
Ready Radio.
Yeah.
I really think that at this time, discernment, apologetics, and the study of the end times all go hand in hand.
Yes.
Because there's
yes.
so much deception
so much.
That is associated with Bible prophecy, because we know that that the spirit of Antichrist that's already at work is deceiving a lot of people, leading people astray. And then on the other hand, you have the great whore, the harlot, being formed, which is a spiritual formation of false religion, and we have to track that's going on. So we have to know what we believe and how to defend our faith at the same time as we see the very things that we know are going to eventually take full stage on the world scene is really at the door. And so you know, I guess that kind of leads me to where I am. My husband passed away in 2011, and I started doing my own show. It was Apostasy Alert back in 2007. I guess it's been 10 years now.
Wow.
Since I started with Rapture Ready Radio.
Oh.
Yeah,
yes,
so that's
a
long time.
Millions of listeners, a few million listeners have been by. And so it's a great outreach, really. You know, we thank God for the opportunities that He's afforded us, because, of course, we're not going to be on television or invited on any of these so-called Christian networks. And so thank God for the Internet, because the Lord has given us a voice. And we've been able to minister to so many people and help people to come out of the false religious system that has entrapped so many and yet still entraps so many. So... And you have a book also? Is your book still available?
Oh, yes. I think it's available on Amazon. So I had to drop Amazon, but it's called The Fleecing of Christianity. And it's just a look at, because I've been monitoring and taping, and I don't do that anymore, but I had been for many years from the early 80s till about 2000. Taping and you know, since YouTube and since things have been available online, I don't have to tape anymore. My Great Apostasy video that I did in 1999 has been, you know, the clips from it that I had gathered and sorted and put together have been used by a gazillion people on YouTube.
Wow.
I mean, you know,
because
I have. Well, the people have borrowed it here and there ever since 1999, actually.
Yeah.
One minister, so-called, had taken all 99 of my clips and taken out all of my commentary and thrown in his own and marketed that as his own research. So,
nice guy.
I know.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Everybody, boy, wasn't he brilliant.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Yeah, he was.
So you see, and there's a lot of those kinds of shenanigans going on in the visible church, put it that way. Gosh, just somebody, a friend the other day was complaining that somebody took her article that she had just posted, and he's a pretty well-known guy, and he put somebody else's byline on it with just some different intro. And she's very upset, you know, and she's always like, wanting to throw in the towel when that happens. And I'm going, no, it's not the time to throw in the towel, you know.
No,
just,
no.
You know, but you see, that kind of stuff, some people think that it's okay to plagiarize a Christian writer because a Christian writer is being inspired and or the Lord has given them the inspiration for it, so therefore it belongs to the church, so you can claim it as your own.
Well, no. You know, that's ridiculous. Nobody should plagiarize anybody, Christian or
un-Christian.
Well, that's
a problem. Yeah, that's always been a major problem in so-called Christian publishing.
Yeah.
You know,
so-called.
Yeah, I say so-called.
because
why
would
somebody need to do that?
Who is doing which Christian publishers are left, really, of the major publishing houses that once existed?
Yeah,
who's
but
left?
even if they're not, yeah, even if it's not Christian publishing, at least for, per se, as far as books and magazines go, still people put, like the girl I'm referring to, put this out on her own web page, and it got taken and put on somebody else's web page with somebody else's byline. So it used to be contained so much when it was limited to magazines and books. Because
yeah.
you could, you know, go to the publisher and complain. But now there's no doorkeepers on the internet. So
no,
everything's
no, no,
free
no.
free game.
Yeah, everybody's free game. But yet we still have the opportunity to be a voice. And then we can always refute those things, too. You know, I thank God for Blog Talk Radio. It's been such a blessing. And that we have this platform, and then YouTube, of course. You can have your own television program on YouTube, and it doesn't cost you anything. We don't need millions of dollars to get the message out. I say if you have a mouth, that's good enough, so let it go forth, let the truth go. It doesn't cost anything
Speaking of
to
mouth.
Open your mouth.
Am I being heard, or is my voice
yeah, they
still
said
bad?
The sound
or?
Is good. Yeah, somebody said that. It was coming in loud and clear, so, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
So now we were going to talk about, you said you had some information about Kim Clement, and we know that Kim Clement called himself a prophet, but of course, one of the most glaring, heretical things I think I've ever heard him say, and it was posted on his website before he died, in the about section, I think, and beliefs where Kim says you don't have to be born again. So I don't know how he could himself call himself a real Christian and then call himself a prophet. But you had some information about some prophecies
yes.
he gave.
Well, you know, everybody, a lot of people, since he passed away, are trying to say, oh, this was a great prophet and blah, blah, blah. And they say because he predicted even before Donald Trump put his hat in the ring, he had predicted Donald Trump was going to be a president. But actually, in fact, I played the quotes on my last night's Scattered Sheep report. It was in 2007 that he prophesied that God was choosing Hillary to be not just the president, but the president of the Christian world, that she was going to have some wonderful testimony of God doing a great
what?
Work in her and her family's life. Yes. And so,
what year was that?
That was 2007. And see, that was during the time when the primary was going on and Obama and her were both, going for the nomination.
Yeah.
And so he had falsely predicted that she was going to, the implication since he was saying all this in 2007 when the primaries were going on was that she would be the candidate and she would take it all the way. Then after,
wow.
Then it was later, I think it was 2008 or 2009, I played the clip of the prophecy, and it wasn't a prophecy that Trump was going to be the president, but it was a prophecy of that God was going to use Trump as his Trump card. It was a play on words with the name Trump, and it was in the same breath of the greatness how God was going to use Bill Gates as a gate. So
what?
One was a Trump, one was a Trump, and one was a
Bill
gate.
Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. You would think, I mean, okay, then I guess that was going to be president and vice president or something, but he didn't use the terms president, just that these were God's men for the hour. And so, you know, maybe,
wow.
he, oh, then I think in the during the, you know, before he passed away, during the current, you know, last year during the primaries, he was, you know, pretty much saying, you know, God had, you know, chosen Trump as his anointed. Kind of thing.
Oh.
And so, you know, a lot of people were saying that about Trump, and then there were others, and we have to wait another week, and I mentioned this yesterday, because you have to wait a week to see what happens. But there's several people, including the Queen of England, okay, who were saying that God was saying Obama was the last president of the United States, so there would be no inauguration in January of 2017.
The Queen of England said that?
Yes, yes. I don't have the quote in front of me, but I'm going to, if we'll see. I mean, if the inauguration goes well, then we can call the Queen a false prophetess. But yes, but I don't think she was prophesying. She was speculating, I think.
What a thing to say.
I know, and a lot of people had grabbed hold of it because, and there was some other talk that Pope Francis was saying the same thing. And of course, it's weird because, you know, it could all be the same spirit of the age, the same spirit of Antichrist that is talking to a lot of people, because you can see the opposition to this inauguration.
Never seen anything
globally
like it.
And, right, so it's got to be a very evil influence on a lot of people who are opposing it. And you know, so we're going to wait and see what happens next week. Actually, it's, 6 days away or so?
Yeah, the 20th.
Because I've never seen this kind of opposition to a president
before.
No,
I haven't either, no. And the propaganda, it's been amazing that over the past few years, since Donald Trump announced that he was running, I've never seen so much propaganda by the media. I thought it was hilarious when he pointed at the CNN reporter and said, "You're fake news."
Fake news.
Yeah.
I know. And you know, and the thing is that the news is no longer news anymore. The news is all propaganda.
Yeah, most
of it is
propaganda.
Whether it be on the left or the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's everybody's opinion. It's not just straight news. It's opinion. It's not who, what, where, when, why. It's opinion.
Yeah.
And so it's hurting us all because it is propaganda. It is social engineering. And, you know, and yet they all tend to also be pro-globalism and against nationalism.
Yeah, yeah. That's the shocking thing to me, is how they've been so very successful at promoting globalism and socialism. It's very shocking, really.
I know, they want to burn our Constitution.
Yeah, well, they're well on their way because they have almost evenly divided the country into factions. So I know,
well,
I've mentioned this before on the broadcast about the so-called Affordable Care Act, and my own family, which my parents were both factory workers and were living on their Social Security and their pensions. Their deductible was $600 for the both of them for their health insurance. After Obamacare, it was $3,400. So I don't want to pay for somebody else's health care. Look, if I want to donate to charity, I think it should be up to me to donate. But I don't want anybody, including the government, taking the money away from my family to give to somebody else's family without my permission.
You know what this reminds me of? I passed this along this morning. Somebody on my Facebook page put this little... it's not exactly a poem, but something together comparing conservatives with the liberals. Let me just read it because it isn't very long, but it just goes with what you just said. It starts out, "If you ever wondered what side of the fence you sit on, this is a great test. If a conservative doesn't like guns, he doesn't buy one. If a liberal doesn't like guns, he wants all guns outlawed. If a conservative is a vegetarian, he doesn't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian, he wants all meat products banned for everyone. If a conservative is down and out, he thinks about how to better his situation. A liberal wonders who is going to take care of him.
Yeah.
If a conservative doesn't like a talk show host, he switches channels. Liberals demand that those they don't like be shut down. If a conservative is a non-believer, he doesn't go to church. A liberal non-believer wants any mention of God and Jesus silenced. If a conservative decides he needs health care, he goes about shopping for it or may choose a job that provides it. A liberal demands that the rest of us pay for his. If a conservative reads this, he'll forward it so his friends can have a good laugh. A liberal will delete it because he's offended. And then it concludes, well, I forwarded it to you.
Yeah.
Creeps with it. But I thought
yeah,
that
but
that
it's
was
amazing how
comparison.
They've managed to convince almost half of the population to drink the Kool-Aid, you know. The sense of entitlement, which is also the same problem we have in the church, is the sense of entitlement.
Yeah, it's the same spirit that's affecting the church and the world. And, you know, that's how you can just kind of recognize it as a spiritual influence and a very dark and ugly one. It's really the mystery of iniquity that is just affecting a lot of people. And it depends on who you tune into as to, you know, where you're going to stand. You know, it's really scary. I don't know if you saw this, but now all of Hollywood is saying that they want... especially, you know, starting by Rosie O'Donnell, is wanting this big campaign for all of Hollywood to oppose Trump and not to accept him as their president and all of this kind of weird stuff. And then none of the celebrities or the entertainers would agree to go to entertain at the inauguration and things like that. And so, you know, and of course, Hollywood is one of the biggest purveyors of propaganda and social engineering that exists.
Very, very
you
true.
Know,
very, very true. They make adultery acceptable. You know?
Oh, yes. And of course, they want to highlight, you know, the whole gay agenda and promote something that's destructive to people. They want to promote it as popular. And yet, I've known many gay people, particularly men in my life, and none of them are gay, and you know, and I've lost a couple of those friends to AIDS, that people that I've worked with and I got very close to, and they ended up dying of AIDS and dying young. It shortens their life expectancy, and yet this is, you know, it's considered hate speech to say those things, to speak the truth. The truth is now something that is being called hate speech.
Yeah.
And of course, I guess you could speak truth hatefully, but if you
speak it
matter-of-factly, you're in trouble. And that's going to get worse, I think.
I think so, too.
I think we might get a reprieve if Trump is who he makes himself out to be. Maybe there'll be a reprieve on those things.
Maybe. You know, we'll see what happens, you know. because hopefully he will surround himself with godly men who can advise him and pray for him. You know, we pray for his protection and his family's protection as God has instructed us to pray for our leaders. And we hope, because there's sometimes power when it's fully realized can do things to people. So we have to hope.
Well, he has he has that spiritual advisor, Paula White, who should help him on that front, right?
I don't think
so. Come on,
so.
I got to get a reaction.
No, I think that, you know, I think he needs to get some good, solid men around him and forget about Paula White. I mean, you know, Paula needs some advice herself. She should, you know, take heart and realize that, you know, the public outcry over her being selected to pray at the inauguration, the news media slammed her for the most part. So sometimes you have to examine yourself and take a look and say, well, you know, maybe it is me instead of everybody else. But, you know, my prayer for Donald Trump is that he will surround himself with truly godly people. That will not people that are looking to make a name for themselves. They don't even have to be get the publicity that they're praying for him or they're advising him. Those are the kind of men you want around him that are not, you know, tooting their own horn about it. And hopefully those are the kind of people that he will gather around him that really care about him. Nobody wants to be used.
And care about America.
Yeah, and care about America, care about the people of this country, absolutely. on not, you know, looking to make a name for themselves and to rub shoulders with the president, but to actually care about him, his eternal destiny, and that's my prayer for him and for his family, and
yes.
You know, that he would come to know the truth and that he would have God to lean on, because, yikes, President of the United States is an awesome job. I don't think you really realize what's going to happen to you until you actually are walking in those shoes. And
yes, and pray he's a Daniel, you know, or a Joseph, because seriously, the enemy of our souls is really going to personally target the ones that can affect can affect his own agenda. And so he's going to be needing spiritual protection, and pray that God would put that hedge about him and protect him, and dispatches angels, you know, to watch over him and his family. Because, I mean, not only is he a target of so many people on the planet that oppose him, that are inspired by the enemy, but he's a direct target of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is.
I wouldn't want to feel that exposed. I mean, he's exposed, you know.
He is. Yes, he really is. He put himself out there. Look, he didn't have to do it. You know, he had plenty of money, and he didn't have to do it. But you really do put yourself out there. And your life is never the same again. No, his children, his grandchildren, and his immediate family, their life will never be the same.
No.
But
I know one way that the enemy can use him and may possibly be using him, and that is in the arena of joining together, unifying religions. You know, that he has the clergy that are going to offer prayers or read scriptures at his inauguration include a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic cardinal, false teaching televangelists, and then maybe the most respectable guy would be Franklin Graham. So, but you see, with them all coming together, it's interesting. He didn't choose any imam or Buddhist.
No,
or
he
Hindu.
Didn't
I
do
mean,
that.
I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I'm glad about
That's
that
good.
Too. Yeah, that was good.
But then on the
whoever
other hand,
advised him to do that, no. That it would have been better just to stick with Franklin and leave all the others out.
Well,
really.
Yes, that certainly would have been better. But you see, I don't know how much of a message is being sent, especially with that Cardinal Dolan, who I know we were talking about him the other day. He was the Grand Marshal last year in the St. Patrick's Parade, and it was allowing a whole contingency of gay marchers in the parade that were, you know, all flamboyant the way they are in their gay pride parades. But instead of you know, questioning the wisdom and allowing the gay marchers to promote their own rainbow agenda, instead of opposing that, he says, oh, he trusts that the ones the Catholics putting together the parade is good enough, and he's going to just go along with them. And then he wore a rainbow-colored shawl thing it's part of their clergy outfit that they wear, only this one, instead of having a straight color, it was rainbow-colored. And then the Catholic reporter, Michael Voris, went to the parade and in the press area and confronted him and over this hypocrisy about, you know, participating in this with including all the gays, and he pretty much got manhandled and tossed out of there.
Wow.
So Dolan is really a very wicked, wicked man.
Yeah, he's
and,
a very wicked man. I was shocked that he was included in the program too. But like I said, whoever advised him, he would have been well advised to have somebody like Robert Jeffries or Falwell Jr. Robert Jeffers or Falwell Jr. and skip the others to really maybe
well, you
have
know,
somebody
David,
that has some knowledge of God and is really saved.
Yeah. Remember when they had that prayer gathering that Paula White supposedly put together? One of the guys laying hands on him was David Jeremiah. Now, David Jeremiah is a total compromiser, but at least he's got his theology somewhat right. So he would have been a better choice, of course, than someone like Sammy Rodriguez, who has been part of the NAR, is in the Dominion theology. He is a one-worlder. And,
he's terrible, that Sammy Rodriguez. Horrible. And Wayne T. Jackson, I mean, don't they know there's a video out on YouTube of Wayne T. laying on top of men when he ordains them? I mean, come on. I don't know how they vetted anybody. I guess, you know, to me, maybe it just seems like they're naive because they think that just because somebody talks about Jesus and they act spiritual, maybe they're really spiritual. But you have to, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. So what fruit do these people have? They're miracle sellers for the most part. They've accumulated their wealth by selling miracles. And so they didn't do their job.
Well,
the inaugural committee definitely didn't do their job.
But Paula and some of the other ones teach the prosperity gospel. And I really think that Trump has latched onto the prosperity gospel because of his own prosperity. And
yeah,
so,
but I don't think he understands it. I don't think he ever really looked at their television. I don't think
he'd have to be, I'm sorry, he would have to be born again to see through it. And I know years ago when he came out with one of his books that he was on Paula White's TV program, and and she was spouting all the prosperity stuff, and he just smiled along with her.
Yeah, but I don't think he. I can't believe that he ever watched Wayne T. or Sammy or Paula and saw them hawking their $1,000, miracle seed offering to get God's blessing. And I don't think he ever saw that. I can't believe that he would seen that and said, wow, that's really Christian. I don't think he's that dumb.
No, I don't either. But I do think that he does things that are expedient, as far as
exactly. He's a schmoozer. He wants
the
to schmooze. Yeah, to get the votes. But nobody, his family, his team, they didn't vet these people. Anybody could go on the internet and look at their videos and their teachings. And you'd have to maybe spend a half an hour or an hour or whatever. Who would have wanted Wayne T. Jackson to pray at the inauguration if they had seen the video of him laying on top of men when he ordains them?
It's
an embarrassment.
Remember, it's very much an embarrassment. Maybe not as bad as Obama's pastor. Remember the guy who says,
Obama didn't invite him to pray at the inauguration. At least he had that much sense. He didn't.
I
have to hand it to Obama for that. He had Rick Warren. He's no gem either, but at least he didn't invite Jeremiah Wright. He didn't say, I'm having him anyway.
That's true, because I think, didn't that all come out before the inauguration?
It did, but he didn't stand by him. He didn't invite him to the inauguration.
Oh, I hardly ever go there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So
he
wasn't
going to
touch
that. Did he have Billy Graham or Franklin Graham at his own inauguration, do you know?
I can't remember. I think maybe. I don't know. I think he did take, who it was that took the oath on the Masonic Bible. That'll be another interesting thing, is to see which Bible Trump uses.
Oh, yeah. Well, I doubt if there's going to be a controversy there. But what you were talking earlier about, his slamming the CNN for their fake news. There's all these people accusing each other of being fake news. But, there really are things like The Onion and the Babylon Bee that admit to being fake news. And yet, I don't know, I've been on Facebook for a long time, and I have seen people intent, you know, just being that naive, but sharing articles from the Babylon Bee or from the Onion, which are satire, and really, and sharing them, believing them. And then when you try to correct them, they get mad at you. You know, there was this one a while back that said that Pope Francis had just finished Vatican III. And you know, these councils that they have, like Vatican I, Vatican II, and the Council of Trent, these councils that they have, go they happen for a year or 2 years. They go on and on and on. And here somebody shared this thing from the Babylon Bee that Vatican III determined that, you know, that Mary is really a goddess, and that, you know, all these weird kind of things, all these things that are that a pope, even a pope, according to their own magisterium, cannot change, and these certain doctrines that can never change. And so I tried to explain that to them in that thread. I got jumped on, and I even went to Babylon Bee and took their little statement of who they are, that they are satire, and I put that in there. And these Christians, my fellow Christians, jumped on me because, well, even if it isn't true, that's what they'd like to do. That's what they really think, or blah, blah, blah. And do you know that that person had something like 100 shares off of that, with that many naive people thinking it was true, that there really was a Vatican III? And I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. I even tried to chase some of the shares down and go on their pages and share the Babylon Bee statement that they are satire, and I still got blasted.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important what we do, is that we check our facts before we report them. I try to be very careful before I report anything that I've checked my facts, because they can say anything. I remember, I love to watch the news. I watch a lot of the news, and I try to keep up with what's going on. And I remember the day that David Duke endorsed Donald Trump, okay? So I think it was in the morning that David Duke came out with his endorsement. David Duke was a former head of the Ku Klux Klan. Donald Trump held a news conference that day. He was asked at the news conference, in front of everybody, it was on TV, it was in front of everybody, he was asked, did you know that David Duke endorsed you? He said, no, I didn't know that. Because it had just happened that morning. He said, I didn't know that, but I disavow. Well, they went on for days and days and days, and CNN was the biggest culprit of this, saying that. Did you know that David Duke endorsed Donald Trump, and he didn't disavow him? And they went on and perpetrated the lie. So, I've seen the news media do this over and over again. Well, they'll take something. Nobody mentioned the fact that one of the leaders, Grand Dragons of the Ku Klux Klan, also endorsed Hillary Clinton during the election. But nobody really reported on that. Just because somebody endorses you doesn't mean that you're affiliated with them.
Oh, I know. And again, that's where the real news becomes fake news, because when it becomes directed by their agenda,
take
people's and they take everybody out of context to say something that they didn't really say, or at least take, you know, in context, that's not what they were speaking of, and then they put their own spin on it, you know, then they become the fake news, and they're more dangerous than the Onion or the Babylon Bee.
No, it's true. It's very, very dangerous, and it's meant to incite, and you can incite people. It doesn't take too much to incite people, because you see how a riot is started. Riots just don't happen. They're incited. And that's what the news media does, to get you to hate someone without a cause. So you have to be careful what you hear. You need to investigate. You need to go back and look at actual audio of the whole event, of what the person said, before you make a judgment, and especially before you publish it, because you can really hurt somebody, and you don't want to do that. Truth is truth, and that's what is the most important thing, is that we speak the truth and we tell the truth, and we don't make things up because we have an agenda, you know. It's so damaging.
No, and besides, where do we get news? You know, if we can't get straight news, then how can we make our own determination on, you know, on the, you know, how to take it with what happened? If facts are being, you know, changed according to, you know, whoever is reporting it. So you're not getting straight news, just to know what's going on in the world. And I think it is important to go to know what's going on in the world. And I do check, you know, other foreign sources. And
well, the thing is, it goes by, and the news media knows this, it goes by a soundbite. So most people are working all day. They don't have time. Fortunately, I have time to do my investigations. And so they come home at night and they turn on the news and they get a sound bite. This is what somebody said, and then they build a whole story around it. So, oh, that's what people believe. And then they believe it because they, you know, CNN reported it or CBS or whatever, and they don't take the time or they don't have the time. There's some legitimate news sites out there that I trust. I trust the Drudge Report for reporting. I trust Breitbart, Gateway Pundit, some of these news sites. They don't have fake news, for the most part, on there. They just report stories that are true. I haven't seen
I haven't seen
the Drudge Report report things inaccurately for the most part.
No,
you know, they
no.
report headlines. Because actually,
and, you know,
doesn't
I know
do
a lot
own
of
writing.
I get razzed a lot for listening to InfoWars, you know, because the head of InfoWars is kind of, you know, can really get dramatic and goofy, you know, one
Alex
he
can
Jones.
Get goofy,
And so, but he's got his reporter, a couple of them, Mark Dyson, David Knight, and Paul Joseph Watson. Those guys work for him, but they are not, they don't get off into, you know, emotional craziness. They just report straight news quite a bit, and they do commentary as well. But I think, you know, David Knight is one of the better talking heads, at least just to hear the news and to get a good perspective, you know, a truthful perspective. So I think, as crazy as Alex Jones is, he is building a network that he's got some pretty strong reporters. So and they go out there. And,
well,
and
you have
so
to go out there
the video,
to get the story.
Yeah,
you have to be a reporter. You can't just get a something from the AP or the UPI or whatever, and everybody's reporting the same news, but they're not journalists.
Right.
They're not going out and actually digging up the facts. That's what I find.
Oh, no.
Journalism is
they
dead for the most part.
I know. Well, see, and I think that's what at least InfoWars is recapturing. They're sending their reporters right in the middle of mayhem all over the place, which is sometimes even dangerous for them. But they are fearless, and they go right out and they ask the right questions. And so as far as on-scene reporting, I can't, you know, you won't get that from the Drudge Report or even Breitbart, but you will get that from InfoWars. And So
not everything on InfoWars is true, and we're not saying that, but for the most we're not saying everything is true on InfoWars. But there are some good reporters.
See,
yes, there are. That really report. They go out there. They're in the trenches.
Yes.
They're actually on scene reporting.
And you actually can see what's going on. In other words, then you can look at their videos and see it at things actually happening right there.
Yeah.
And so then you can make your own conclusion.
Yeah, you can make your own conclusions, and you should. You know, you should be able to judge. But if anybody does have a question, if you need to have a question for Jackie before we wrap up today, you can call in quickly at 914-338-1638, and we'll take your question quickly. So what else did you want to mention, Jackie?
Oh, well, that's a good question, because
We're just about out of time.
Yeah, you know what I'm seeing a lot, and I know that you are too, is it's almost looking like civil war in our country.
Yeah.
And that it seems to be intentionally designed to cause chaos in our country.
Yeah.
You know, with people fighting against each other. I mean, how many people have villainized one another over this past election?
Yeah.
And so here we have a new government that half the people are doing anything they can to sabotage it. We're not
yeah.
really good, steady ground right now.
Yeah. It's remarkable. It really is.
And then you've got some rap music and Black Lives Matter trying to tell people to kill police, and they're actually killing cops all over the place.
Yeah,
there's been a big increase
in that. Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
You know, we realize there's you know bad police, but there's for the most part there's good police. These people do put their life on the line to protect society. And we do want to right injustices, but you can't. We have to be careful with rhetoric, and like I said before about inciting people, how easy it is to incite
right.
people who have felt disaffected or injured in some way. But we don't fight back with violence. We don't ever fight back with violence.
And it should be that whenever there's, situations that are wrong, that we speak up against what's wrong, even no matter which side is doing things.
Yes.
And you know, protect the innocent at the same time, not getting into a situation where there's no protection. I mean, who do you call when you need a cop? It was so horrible seeing a female cop just shot down and mowed down
yeah.
because she was wearing a badge just the other
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Young lady that had a one-year-old or something at home. And so, you know what, we're seeing so many things from watching from YouTube and things like that, that some of it is more than a lot of us can take because, you know, we're seeing, some of these videos that are, you know, surveillance videos that are not even doctored or edited, and you see one person mow down another person, and or people being blown up, and all these things that we wouldn't see in our normal course of life are now
That's
coming right.
right
into our homes.
Yeah. Yeah, we never really were privy to that kind of information before the internet, but now we can see these things happening right before our eyes. And it is shocking, and it just gives us more of an impetus as Christians to get the gospel out, to try to help change the minds of people. Because really, who can change your mind? Who can renew your mind? Only Jesus. Only He can do it.
True. I mean, because we are called out people, and certainly we need to still be salt and light, because seeing these things makes a lot of people just want to lock their doors and not go out and not engage other people. And it should have the opposite effect, that we see the nearness of His coming, and it's time to really, lift up Jesus' name. The hard part about lifting up Jesus' name is when you do, they say, oh, I've seen those people on Christian television. You're one of them. I ain't listening to you. You just want my money.
I know. That distresses me probably more than anything, is that how do we want to appear before the world? How do we want to appear before the leaders of our country? Do we want to appear before them as pure-hearted, as people that really care for them, that people that really care for their eternal destiny? We're not looking for fame. We're not looking for fortune. Our agenda is your eternal destiny. And to me, it is so distressing to see what's happening and to see how we're portrayed before the world. We're a laughingstock. We're a laughingstock.
Yeah.
For the most part. But, you know, hopefully with your program and the Rapture Ready Radio Network and this program and the work that we do, is that we can help to change the image of what Christianity is. That's my aim.
Well, you know, that's true. Of course, I was told recently by some guy, you're the reason I left the faith for people like, because of people like you who think that that you've got all the answers, you know. And then I even got accused for being like my master who dared to tell other people they're wrong.
Well, didn't Jesus say, by their fruit you will know them? So what are we supposed
really?
To do, not examine people's fruit? We're supposed to know those that labor among us. We're not supposed to speak out against those that we know don't labor among us. We're not supposed to call out a heretic. The Bible says a heretic after the first and second admonition, which you tell them, reject. So why do they don't want to read their Bibles? They don't want to read from Matthew to Revelation and find out what the Scripture says. And the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Do we want people in our lives that only tell us what we want to hear, or do we want to hear the truth?
Yeah, see, today's society, and it's come into the church, is that if you tell somebody that they're wrong, you're unloving. And that everybody's truth is their own truth. And so, you know, that's your truth, this is my truth, you know, it's subjective, and you can't, your truth isn't any better than my truth. Well, it ain't truth if it ain't true. But,
that's it.
Got to be true to be truth.
That's it, because even now we see people, they're supposedly born again. They don't have any of the character of Jesus Christ. So what are we supposed to do, accept them just let it be so? No, we're called to preach the gospel as it is. We are called to preach the gospel. And Jesus sure didn't hold back when he called people, you whitewashed walls, and vipers.
And he wasn't kidding. Was
no, he wasn't
he
kidding.
That if they hated me, they're going to hate you too.
Yeah. He did say that. I know a friend of mine did a program last night about what did Jesus hate. There were the things he hated, and the same things he hated, I hate, and I'm allowed to hate.
Yes, and that's why this guy said that I was just like my master, who dared to say he was, you know, true and others were wrong. So that's hateful to say that. And so that's a good person to be compared to, is I'm the same.
Yeah, exactly, because we love you enough to tell you the truth. If we didn't love people and love Jesus and love the Bible, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. We wouldn't be putting ourselves out there for public rebuke ourselves or to be hated by some people out there in the public. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we didn't truly love God's people and truly love people. Because who wants to put themselves out there as a target?
Yeah, the darkness is just closing in, and there's so many people whose deeds are dark, and they don't, when you bring light, they don't want the light to expose their darkness.
That's it.
And their evil deeds, and so they won't come to the light. Because they prefer their sin over the truth of what they're engaged in and everything. They want to be free to be evil, and they have that freedom to be evil. But,
you have the freedom to be evil. Yes, that's right. You have the freedom to be evil, but you can't enjoy anything the devil gives you. He takes it away eventually. You can see.
Oh, yeah.
So many examples of that. And so what?
Absolutely.
I can lay my head on my pillow at night and sleep because I wasn't taking anybody's goods and making them my own through false pretenses. So, and I didn't use the Bible as a prop, and I didn't take Jesus and use his name to enrich myself. No.
I know. And even when we use Scripture, it's not to make ourselves look so wise and puffed up. It is to direct people to their Creator and that they would hear his words. And so if they hear his words and they're angry at those words, then that they're angry at God, not us, who quote him.
Yeah, but the thing is, I know even myself before I knew the Lord, people would quote Scripture to me, and I thought they were nutty. Too, And sometimes it would make me angry, but it made me angry enough to think about it, to get the Bible out myself and start reading it. And as I started reading it, I started to realize it was true. So even our enemies and the people that criticize us, hopefully that will provoke you to get into the Word yourself and find out what the Word of God says, because who wouldn't want this life? I wouldn't trade this life for anything. There isn't enough money in the world to take me away from Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. He's my Savior. He saved me.
Yep, me too. And I know I would be dead a few times over if it weren't for his intervention.
Yes, his amazing grace. And we all need his grace and his mercy every day. We all do. But if we're going to profess to be Christians, let's profess to be Christians in a godly way, in a biblical way, and let's show the world what we're really all about, and not what they're seeing on television, which they call Christian, which it isn't for the most part. But let them see what Christianity really is, and who Jesus really is, and how much he really loves us and cares about us. And he's here for us. He's just a prayer away. Whenever we need anything from God, all we have to do is pray. We don't have to send anybody any money. We don't have to send anybody any money to get God to do anything for us. All we have to do is get down on our knees and cry out, and he will answer our prayers and meet our needs as he has promised. He's a loving Heavenly Father. Well, Jackie, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Great program as usual. And
tell the people
before you go where they can find you.
Well, you could find me at raptureadyradio.com and or on Facebook. Just type in my name, Jackie Alnor. It's A-L-N-O-R on Facebook, and send me a friend's request. And we have a good time on there sharing stories that are pertinent for following the signs of the times. And then the other programs that I post from Rapture Ready Radio, if you just listen to all of those, like tonight, Time of the Signs is going to be a very good program. And if you just listen to that, you'll really have an understanding of Bible prophecy and end times without the crazy blood moons and Shemitahs and zodiac.
Now, who are the people that are on your network?
Well, we've got on Monday nights, we've got Cindy Hartline and her Love for the Truth Radio.
Yeah, she's good,
Tuesday
yeah.
night is Jim Fletcher's Israel Watch.
Yeah.
Wednesday is Randy Shelton in Deception in the Church. And when he's doing a really good series on liberalism in the church. And let's see, my show, Scattered Sheep Report, is on... Oh, yours is also on Wednesday, isn't it? Randy, I think.
Yeah, after
and
Randy,
And then Friday.
Yeah.
Friday
yeah,
we've got me, Scattered Sheep Report. Saturday is my production Time of the Signs, which is when I feature a different speaker every week. And Sunday is Afterglow with Tim and Vince, and they just talk about things that are in the news and what happened at church on Sunday. And so we have you can get us on iTunes, look up Rapture Ready Radio on iTunes, and you can just have a regular download and listen to any of the shows while you're doing your workouts or walking on the beach or doing your housework. It's a good resource.
Yeah, it is, and good sound Bible teaching. So I recommend it highly. And like Jackie said, you can touch base with her on Facebook and have some interaction there. So I want to thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you for all your good work, too. We appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you, too, Susan, quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to do my part, you know. I love God. I really love him. And we want to do something to help.
And that comes through.
Yeah. We want to do something to help God's people and to... preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Boy, they need Jesus more than ever, I'll tell you. All right, Jackie,
yeah, well, God
bless. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. So that's our program for today. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, for showing up today. God bless you, all your comments. I appreciate it so very much. And all my listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate your being here with us and participating in our program. Thank you. Anyway, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Ask Jesus to come into your life today. He said, Jesus Christ said in the third chapter of John, you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. Then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus said in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again, no matter what anybody says. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. He's a real person and he wants a relationship with you. So God bless you all today, and don't forget to tune in next week. We'll have another very special program for you. Next week at this time, we'll have a new president. We'll see what happens with that. We pray for his protection. God bless you, Mr. Trump, and your family, and keep you safe. And we'll see you next week.